What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Run Happy Podcast. I'm Baxter Friedman.
And I'm Charlie Rook, and this is a podcast for people that want to improve themselves as runners as well as people and always run happy.
Let's get into it.
All right, what's up, everyone, and welcome to, I think, episode 34 now of Run Happy Podcast. Today we've got Gold South Conference winner of the 5K and 3K, Molly Jones. So how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Really well. I'm glad we were able to finally do this. We're talking off camera about how we've been a little unlucky with some of the scheduling, but I'm glad we're here now. We're figuring out. So, exactly. So for people that haven't seen you recently on Reels or TikTok or anything, you know, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
I'm Molly Jones. I'm a senior, and I go to Coastal Carolina. I'm on the track team. I think you can tell by my accent I'm from England, so yeah, and I enjoy running, so done a few laps around the track, so yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, so let's start there. So obviously you're from England, so how did you get to the States and you know, start running in college?
So in high school, I've always been into like sports and stuff, and I think in England it's a bit different, where I think in America, you're kind of put into one sport. Usually, I don't know if it works like that, but in England, we're kind of like given more, from what I've heard, we're given a bit more exploration with different sports. And I've always just been good at running, I guess. That was kind of the one main thing I was good at, like throughout all different sports. So I did running in high school and since I was like seven. And I qualified for, we had this thing called English Schools, which is like the national championships for like in the UK for the 3000 in like 2018. So I think I was like 16. And then from there, a scout they come to you and they go, hey, do you know you can have an opportunity to go to America? And I was like, no, like I had no idea that was even like an option. And then, yeah, I got in contact. Like he kind of put me in contact with different universities, and I visited three schools in 2019. And then I came here because I came from like Connecticut for my first visit, and it was like snowing and horrible. And like, I was like, I don't know if I could be here. Like, because in England, it rains a lot, but snow, I don't know. It was freezing cold. And I came down to Coastal Carolina, and it was like November. And I think it was like 80 degrees, blue skies, like palm trees. And I was like, okay, I think I can come here. So yeah, and I've been here since 2020. So.
That's awesome. So like, what about, I mean, you said obviously the weather, but was like, is there anything else about Coastal Carolina that like just really made it seem like this is something that, or somewhere you wanted to go?
I think just, I like having like a small school. I don't know. I think the big schools kind of intimidated me. I don't know. I like coming from England, like a lot of our, like even Coastal Carolina is huge, like compared to schools in England. So even that was just amazing. And the facilities and just the people, I think there's quite a nice southern hospitality, I'd say. Like people are very friendly. I don't know, just the environment was very nice. And I like the head coach. So yeah, I think everything kind of aligned.
I think one thing I want to talk about is obviously, so England's, you know, England's pretty far, and the culture differences is quite, you know, it's there. So especially going somewhere like a Carolina school. So what was that like when you first moved, like fully over in school? Like, what was your freshman year like, you know, culturally different?
It was a big shock. I think I didn't realize how much America, I don't know if it was just in the South, but my accent was very like a big like draw factor. Like I would start speaking and it was like I was an alien, and they'd be like who is this? Like I think I had to like have probably 10 more minutes of conversations with people just because of my accent. So I kind of had to get used to that. I think everything's just bigger here too. Also just the whole culture of like, I don't know if it's just a southern thing, but people are very like welcome. I don't know how to explain it. Like in England, we would never just talk to a stranger. Like, you know, people would just come up to you and be like, I love your outfit, or you look so, like, we would never do that. So I used to, like, people would come up to me like, do I know you? And like they would start speaking to me, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, so I think I've got more used to that, just like different words as well. Like I remember I asked for a banana, and I don't know why that was such a weird thing. And they were like, sorry honey, what are you trying to say? And I was like, can I have a banana please? And I had to say it about 10 times, and she went, oh, banana. And I was like, so just things like that. So just things like that. I'm like, come on, like it's not that much of a difference, but it's just, I think my accent is maybe a bit too strong. I don't know. But other than that, I've loved just to put myself in a new culture. Yeah.
That's awesome. It's a like how's the competition for running compared to England? Is it like just so much better or about the same?
I would say obviously it's a smaller country, so there's not as a big like I would go to big competitions. There's still amazing girls there, and like but then I think coming here, even though I'm at a smaller school and we're in a smaller conference per se, I would say we can go into the bigger meets like regionals and nationals. I think the talent pool is probably bigger, but we still have the competition is still good. I think it's just America's on a grander scale, I guess, and you have more opportunities to race as well, because in England I think when you go to university, you kind of finish sports as a like a thing, unless you're like international level, you kind of stop when you get to university. So I think here it's way more like you get to college and this is the big time for you to, excel in sports. So I think that's a big difference.
Yeah, I'm sure the numbers did definitely play a factor. Obviously, like some of the high-end competition, in each it is just yeah, definitely maybe just a little bit different like over in Europe compared to the States. I think one thing I want to talk about. We talked to someone about this. I think it might have been Toby Galter. The difference between European cross country and cross country here. Is that something you noticed when you cr came over here? Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Oh, I hated cross country. Like it was, like I couldn't tell you how much I hated it. Like it would be, I was like 13 years old. I would turn up. It would be about, I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, maybe 20 degrees. I think in Fahrenheit. I think that's quite cold, which is cold for me. And I'm wearing gloves. I'd have blue fingers, and it would just be like you'd be standing on the start line shivering, and it would just be head to toe in like mud. Like people would ask me what my cross country like personal best were, and I was like, I have no idea. Like I just needed, like in England you just like happy to finish it. It's more about your placing, because you don't care about times, because you're literally wading through like 10-foot mud. You're jumping over barrels, like it's like up like hills like this much, and it's like hills like this but also with like 10-foot mud. So it's just like it's just a mud fest. You probably like you finish like with mud all over your face, blood everywhere. So then I came here, especially at Coastal Carolina, where like it's just South Carolina, like it's just golf fields, so it's basically like a track to me. So I much like I found my love for cross country in America, definitely.
That's awesome. That is crazy. I mean, yeah, I guess Toby did talk about that as well, but like, holy crap, like sometimes, we just forget about all of it. And yeah, I don't know. I would like to, I'm not gonna lie. I think that that would be fun to experience, but that does not sound like something that, I don't know, I could do for like an entire season. So,
No, it's not the best.
I have a question. So is there any, obviously it's probably a while ago, but like, is there a race, from over there that might stick out in your mind or like you're particularly just like, oh my goodness, this was awful.
Would say, I think a lot of people know this back in the UK. It's called Parliament Hill. And you basically start at like a bottom of like, I think it goes up about over a mile, and it's just this like you start at the bottom and it's this long straight mile, and it's the steepest hill you'd ever seen, and like you think you're done when you get to the top, and then you have a little downhill, but then you go back up it again. So it's just like everyone hates Parliament. Like I don't know, some people enjoy it, I don't know why, like weirdly enjoy it, but I remember when I was like 15 and like you're like grumpy and like oh, I've got to do Parliament Hill, and like, you'd have to go up this like 1 mile hill and you're already so dead by like you're only done a mile and you're already like just absolutely gassed. But yeah, that was probably a big one. Like a lot of people know that as well. So
That's crazy. Do you think that like the European cross country has helped you excel in American cross country like so much more?
yeah, I think yeah, because I'd say I hated it. I didn't hate it. Like obviously you put yourself in it, so you're not like being forced to do it. But I think when I came here, I kind of found my love for it, because I don't know, like I think I got better too, which helped, because I think coming here I got better as well. So obviously when you're fitter, you do better in races. So yeah, I think it definitely helped me. I think I have a lot of strength, which is which I think carries me through a lot of cross country races. So I'd say yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. And oh goodness. Yeah, we used to we throw around the word hate with cross country sometimes as well. And obviously we never mean it. We're here. But yeah, I just can't imagine like the difference between running a one of those like because you watch World Cross Champs and like it's just
Oh
unbelievable. And like, like so one of the US runners the other day, like his shoe like just ripped in half. Yeah, just in the middle of that race. So it's like I'm sure going from that to Coastal Carolina in those fields it's a bit nicer. I
yeah, it's
think
like
yeah, absolutely. But I think changing into something quickly. I want to talk about, so when you got to Coastal Carolina, obviously you're probably with a different coach than you were with in England. So, you know, what was the training transition like? Did you like it more? Did you like it less at first? You know, how did that go for you?
Yeah, so I've had two coaches now being in Coastal Carolina. So my freshman and sophomore year, well, my freshman year, I didn't really compete. I ended up getting COVID and I got ill and then I went home for my spring semester. So I don't really count my freshman year, but that was out of the way. And then my sophomore year, I had a coach, but he wasn't really specialized in distance. So yeah, it wasn't the tra I think the training was fine, but then my co new coach now called Mike, he came in my junior year. I think I really just excelled with his coaching. I think we realized that I'm way more suited for the longer distances because I was kind of training more for 800 and 1500, and I don't think I was ever going to be an 800 or 1500 meter runner because my strength is always that I can go, you can give me a pace and I can just, automatically go that pace for a lot of laps. Whereas I think 1500 and 800, you need to have that like more pure speed. So I think he kind of realized that quite quickly. And he managed to, turn it around in a few months. And I went from going sixth in conference the year before to winning conference my junior year. So I kind of took that big leap. And I think that was mainly down to his training. So yeah.
And that's okay, that's really impressive. Okay, so like what do you think, like, I mean, obviously the training changed, but like was there anything else there that like helped change, or like what was the key factor that you think?
I think I kind of had this realization that like, oh, I really want to do well in this. I think your freshman and sophomore year, I was kind of all over the place, like, oh, what do I, who am I? Like you have all these like identity crises, and then you're like, am I good enough? And I think I just had this like light bulb switch. I think definitely during the summer, I did a lot of mileage, which compared to what I've usually done, and I was very consistent. And my personality is like, I'm very good at like structure and order. So if you give me like something to do, I'm gonna do it. So I think that summer training just built really gave me that base. And then coming into my junior year, I was just really I knew I had the potential, and I think I just unlocked that. And like mentally too, I think I had more confidence than I've ever had before. So yeah.
Do you think mentally, you know, when you took that switch, like, was it just, it was, you think it was training, or do you think like, yeah, that summer was like, it just made you buy in a bit more?
I think a bit of both, and then also having my coach, because I met him in August, and then conference was October, so what I had like about 2.5 months. But I think we just really like got on well, and I really trusted his coaching and his training, and it seemed to work, and I was enjoying everything. And I also found the love for it again, because I think I kind of fell out of love with it, I think, my first 2 years, because I was like, when you're not fit, and things aren't going your way. And then I finally had this like, oh, like okay, I can do this. And I don't know. I think a lot of people might be able to relate to it, but I think, yeah, I found the love for it, I think.
That's cool. Like how, I mean, you said it was summer training, but like, you know, can you tell us like a story that kind of shows an example of like how that all happened?
Like a story of my tra like a training example, or like a workout example?
Yeah, like I don't know, just like anything that could like kind of, I guess a workout example or a training example. Yeah.
I'd say so. Yeah, I was doing like 70 miles a week in the summer, which I didn't do any. I think his training, he would like us to just do mileage during the summer, and then we came into cross. Oh yeah, I remember. This is good. We did a mile time trial, like a week out from conference cross country, and I'd never run. I think I'd never run. I think my PR was like 4:55 or something, I think. Or no, not even sub five. I can't remember. But we ran a mile time trial, and I ran, and so we had to do 10 by 300, and then go into like the mile. And I didn't know why we were doing it, because I was like, why would we do a mile time trial before conference? But he explained after it's because that's kind of like trying to replicate how you'd feel in the last mile to prove that you can, close hard. So I did the mile and I finished it, and I had no idea what time I'd ran, and I ran like a 4:39, and I was like, what? Like I was like, what? And I still haven't run that in a competition yet, so I'm so annoyed. Yeah, like I was like, what? Like, and then it kind of made me go like, oh, I am really fit right now. Like, there's no way no one. He's like, do you think anyone in the conference could, close and la la la? And I was like, I don't know. So I think that kind of gave me like a sparing like moment. Like, oh no, I can close hard. Like, I'm not just a, I always thought in my head like, I can't close. But I can, like from that I realized like I'm not a slow runner, compared. I don't know. That was one thing I kind of stuck in my head.
That's really cool. I love that story. I mean, goodness, the days when practice, when something like that happens in practice, is always so cool. It's like it really is just like a bit of a switch of like, oh yeah, I'm good. Like I'm actually very good at this. And like I don't know, especially like I'm sure you've been down like down the dumps before. I know we have. Like it's sometimes it just literally takes one practice like that to like it'll almost like change a season. And so you know. Going into conference with a bit of momentum is really exciting, and obviously you ended up winning, so that's awesome. But I think one thing we want to talk about is you're on a bit of a tear this season. I think the last three races you might have run, I think you've PR'd in maybe all three, if we're right. All right, awesome. So tell us a little bit about what's going so well right now.
I think just going off last year, we realized I want to push myself to bigger things, and like also I wanted to kind of prove wrong that just because you go to a smaller school doesn't mean you can't get to the higher levels. So me and my coach, I think he really believes in me, and like when he tells me, like he'll tell me like what he thinks I can run. Like before I ran this 10K, he was like, I think you could run around 33:20 for the 10K, and I was like, really? Like you never believe it like in your head, but when he tells you that, you're like, okay. And like so yeah, I think that, and just I've just been doing a lot of just consistent quality training. Like I've been doing so many workouts that like my coach has been like, this proves you can run that. And also been working a lot on my mentality too, because I think I had a bit of a lull. My indoor season, I ran like one bad race, and I kind of had this like, it was like a week before indoors, and I was kind of like, oh my God, like how am I gonna do it, how am I gonna get to the heights I want to go, blah, blah, blah. And I think I just had like a mental switch again, and I was like, oh no, I can do it. And I think being confident, even if, like fake it till you make it basically. So I go into every race now just going, I'm just gonna have, and also having fun. I think a lot of people take running very, very seriously sometimes, and I think at the end of the day you're just running in a circle. So and I think you just need to like look at it from a bigger picture and be like, oh no, it's not the end of the world if you run bad. And what is running bad at the end of the day? Like that's so proportional to everyone. So I think, yeah.
No, I completely agree. And like obviously, I mean, we've been interviewing like a lot of like, high level athletes, and one of the top things that they say is like, because I mean, obviously we do take running seriously and we want to be able to do our best, but like the reality check is like we're doing this for fun. Like we're spending like our Saturdays, going and running in circles, and like we have to remind ourselves like we're doing this for fun. And like I think seeing that all the high caliber athletes saying that that's what they just have to like tell themselves, like this is fun. I think that that's like people need to be more like, I guess, just not as serious about it. And I think that's really, really great that you figured that out. But like how, like I mean, obviously everyone kind of went through that phase where it was like not fun. And so like what like kind of helped that switch for you?
I think my coach and also people around me, like my parents and my family, like I think they realized I was putting so much pressure on myself. Like, because I think when you win something too, like I know it's not that big, like I know at the end of the day, like okay, I won conference, blah, blah, blah. And like, it's not that, like it's like a bigger deal for my families and family, but at the end of the day, like it's not, wow, like I don't know how to explain it. I was just trying to, they were kind of telling me like, Molly, just because you've done something doesn't mean you have to think that like you have to like one up every time, or we're not like, not everyone's looking at you through like a microscope going, oh, is she gonna make a move, is she gonna, she gonna make a next move and fail, and like no one's looking at you like that. At the end of the day, most people are caring about themselves as well. You actually think about it, like if you think like most people are too worried about whatever people are thinking about them, but most of the day people just think about themselves. So I kind of had to this like little switch in my head going, honestly, like I'm just gonna go have fun. And like I also think my like maturity now as well, like as a senior athlete now, I've realized like, okay, I've only got like 2 years left, well a year left probably now. Obviously I've only got outdoor season left for senior. I've just realized like I don't want to look back on my college experience like just being sad, or not sad, but like feeling like, oh, I just want to look back and be like, oh, I've had fun. Like the it's just, I don't know, that's how I look at it. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Make them good years, like something that like you
Yeah,
can
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
be happy about it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it really helps when like especially you, I think you said, did you say your mom was the one that said that to you? Yeah, that
Yeah.
helps massively.
Well, because she doesn't know anything about running, so I think that helps. Because sometimes getting an outside perspective, because she has no idea. Like, I could run like I don't know, 12 minutes for the 3K, and she'd be like, "Well, like you know, she doesn't know." So you know, so that she really helps me sometimes because a lot of people in my circle here all into running. So all my friends are runners, and my coach is a runner. Like, so everyone knows about running. But when I can have the, you know, an outside friend or an outside family member that doesn't understand running, it kind of puts into perspective. Like, oh yeah, like. Most of the population have no idea what you've like any times or you know, so I think she really helps me with that kind of stuff.
If you, yeah, I love that. And like, one of the things I've learned is if you need like an ego boost, like go and talk to like a middle schooler who like wants to be a runner about like what you run, and like they'll like, no way, you do not run that. Like it, you know, it's so it's nice to like, and I'm not saying go and brag to a middle schooler, but
Well, also, like, if you want to be humbled, then you just go to a random person and start talking about running, and they're just not going to care. Like,
exactly.
it's like, and just like, I mean, it's kind of, it's, we are like more of a, like, I don't know, not a lot of people, I guess, not enough people focus on running. But I do think the sport is growing, but still, it's like very interesting. Like, I mean, because my parents as well, like, they're trying, and like, they've grown a lot, but like, with, like learning about running and everything, but whenever I was first running, they were just like, I would run and I would run a crappy race, and they'd be like, "Let's go!" And like they would just be so happy about it. I was like, "No, that's not what just happened." But obviously, like just, but then the parents showing like you know how much they care, even though like you didn't race well, is like so important. That was important to me, and like that just it meant the world to me, and like. I'm sure like you having support from your family was, you know, really, really
Yeah.
nice and helped.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
I agree.
yeah, absolutely. But so you talked about you went through a bit of a lull recently. So, you know, is that how did you get out of that? Obviously, you said you had one bad race, you went through a bit of a lull. So, how did you kind of, you know, flip that switch again?
Well, I think it all stemmed from so last cross country season, I won conference. So I went back to back. So I was on a high and I was going to regionals and I was like so set. Like I think I put way too much pressure because I think like me and my coach knew I could make nationals at regionals, like based on how I was training and what I've been doing. And I think I went to regionals way too like I was saying, like way too pressurized, like way too focused on what times I have to run and like that race went to apps, like it did not go. So I was in 11th place or 10th place, I think, with 1K to go. So I was dead set on going through. And my body just, I don't know what happened, but the last K, my body just, I don't know if you have experience where you're like, you kind of, I don't know if it's redlining, I don't know what happened, but I just couldn't move my legs and I fell over 3 times, flat on my face. You know,
Wow.
I don't know if you have experience where like you've generally can't move your legs, but I don't know what happened. So that was kind of like a traumatic experience. And I literally like face planted across the floor and I went from 11th to like 38th within 1K and I ran my last K in about 4:0 something. So it was very, I think it was one of the most like just like deadpan, like what just happened kind of thing. I just was in shock because I was like, what happened? Like my coach has never, like he told me afterwards, he was never so sure that I was going. He never went from saying, he never went from going, oh, she's definitely going, oh, she's definitely not going in a space of about 2 minutes. So that was my last race of the cross country season. So it kind of put me on like a, you know, a bit of a lull. And then going into indoors, I felt, you know, you don't want to keep thinking about the bad experience you had, but it was always in the back of my mind because you kind of have, it was kind of traumatic, you know? So you kind of have like flashbacks from, you know, your last race. So I did a mile, I think my first race, and it was okay. Like it was nothing special, but we weren't really going into it running fast. And then the next race I ran was the 3K, and like that, the exact same thing ha happened again, where I got into the last K and my legs just fell apart. And I was like, I just don't know what was happening. I think that was a mental thing too, because I think I've researched a lot that apparently your mind connects to your body sometimes. So if you're telling yourself, oh, you feel like, oh, you're gonna die, you're gonna die, your body that you're it's crazy. Your body actually reacts to that. So I think that was more of a mental thing. But this was a week before indoor conference, so I had a week to like really, you know, get my stuff together. So I met with my coach's wife, and she does a bit of like mental training, and she really helped me just like switch the flip, and it must have worked because I went to conference never, I was a complete different person. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you were I mean we saw like the reel, but you like were dancing and everything. Like you're just having so much fun at conference. Like I mean that must have been a huge like flip. Like literally like what happened in that week? Like what happened?
I think I just I was I spoke to my coach as well, and I was like, well, I'm either gonna, go in there feeling sad for sorry for myself, and oh, woe is me, like I had a terrible race, and now I'm gonna do terrible again. And like it was, I think I had a switch. I was like, well, just go have fun. Like you never know what's gonna happen. Yes, it could go terribly wrong, and la la la. There's so many things that could go wrong, but also, what if it goes right? And like I just went into it going, just go have fun. Like me dancing after the race, like that was just me, like naturally just going, okay, I'm just like, it was just like a natural instinct for me. Like I'm not a dancer at all. I'd never, I would never claim to be one. But I don't, that was me just, trying to have fun and just also live in the moment, I guess. Like, my cringy quote of saying live in the moment. But yeah, I just had fun. And it shows through the races because I went into every race just because I did the 5 and the 3K, and every one I did, I was just, okay, I'm just going to see what happens. And it's just like training. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's such a good mentality to have when you can finally like actually I love the saying, oh, well, my phone just fell on the floor. I love the saying, what if it goes right? I think that's like something our coach said to me last cross season, but he did it in a funny way because he was like he told me this advice and then was like, yeah, man, what if it goes right? And I was like, that's a great point. And he goes, okay, well, now that I've told you this, obviously don't now go and run a 4:30 the first mile and just say, what if it goes right? But yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said there for that. And obviously it's going pretty well. So, what are your long-term goals? Do you feel like you could outdoor season, there's a possibility for NCAAs, what does that look like for you?
So I think so my time I've just ran for the 10K. So we're going for the 10K this year. That's my plan. And I just ran a time that I think is gonna almost guarantee me to qualify. I don't want to like touch wood, like it might not happen, but for now I'm through to regionals, hopefully. So yeah, I'm like, if I get to regionals, then I'm just gonna again just put myself in it. And I know I'm fit. We're gonna work on a few things as well, because I think the difference between qualifying for regionals and qualifying for nationals is that you really need to have that closing kick. Because in a t I think in the 10K, yes, you can be fit just to consistently run 79s, 78s all day. Yes, that'll get you a good time. But I think the difference between national caliber and regional caliber is that you need to like be able to close hard. So I think that's one of the things we're gonna try and focus on. But yeah, I'm just gonna, I'm fit. I'm gonna go and put myself in it. And if it works out, it works out. If it goes right, it goes right. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. But yeah, we're just gonna see how it goes. And again, I'm just gonna have fun.
Oh, question. I'm sorry. So did you debut the 10K last time? Was this your first time?
Yeah,
So
first
I
time.
was okay, perfect. So you've debuted it, it went well, and now obviously this is what you're going for. So tell us about that race. It's a 10K, it's a completely different animal. Like, the most you run in cross is 6K. I don't even know if you run that yet. Did you run a 6K regionals?
Yeah, it was at
Okay,
regionals,
so
so
yeah,
bit of a
so yeah, obviously 6K to 10K. How was that for you? Were you nervous before? Like, tell us all about it.
So I think I've been kind of preparing for this mentally for about a year now, because I think this time last year we were literally talking about doing a 10K at Raleigh. So I think I've been mentally preparing, and also training wise, I've been doing like like my workouts have been very long. Like I've been doing like 14 Ks worth of work of like workouts just in one big session, because we realized that double thresholds didn't really work for me. I think my body doesn't seem to like it. So a lot of my sessions have been way longer than a 10K. So I think I went into that really feeling confident. We did like a little 10K prediction kind of workout about 2 weeks before that. I did, I think it was a 4 mile, yeah, 4 miles at 10K race pace. And then I went into 600, 400, 200, two sets of that, and then a mile at the end. And I ran the 4 miles at like 5:19 pace, which is dead on like 3:20. And then I did all the 600s and 400s around, I think I did like one. It wasn't anything crazy fast, but it was kind of trying to replicate that last like, mile and a half of the 10K. And then I ran like a mile in like 5:0 something. So yeah, I was kind of going into that confident, like, Like, I think I could do, 79 80s all day, and that was all I needed to run really to qualify for regional. So I think I trusted myself. I was like, I know I can, I literally did it in training. So I think I just went into that. I think also being at such a big meet kind of gave me confidence too, because I was like, I was in invite too, which is really, really cool to be in, because I was, surrounded by girls who were probably the best in the country, if not the region of the country as well. I remember like looking around going, oh my God, I see all these girls all the time. But it didn't intimidate me really. It just made me go like, oh no, I should be here. Like, this is fun. Like, I get to put myself amongst girls who are, national caliber athletes. So yeah, it was a really cool experience. And yeah, Raleigh was amazing. So yeah.
That is really cool. Yeah, and also like telling yourself that like, or I know a lot of people can get pretty nervous, like being surrounded by a bunch of like high caliber athletes. But then you got to remind yourself like, oh, I am supposed to be here. Like this is where I'm supposed to be. But like, whenever you go to these big meets, do you have any like rituals or routines that you have that kind of help you calm down, or even if you like have any nerves, like do you get nervous before meets?
Oh yeah. I think I'm not as bad as I used to be. I think now I'm more kind of, I get nervous maybe like 10 minutes before, and then I kind of get I got nervous when we all had to like, come into like a line on like there was about 35 of us in the race, and we had to kind of like line up in a line, and I was kind of going, oh wow, it's getting real serious now. But like, I think, I don't know if you've experienced, but like as soon as the gun goes off, it kind of that all goes away. For me, like I think the nerves just you just full of adrenaline by that point. But yeah, for pre-ritual, I don't have any like pre-ritual things. I think I eat a lot of oatmeal. So like for like eating, I love oatmeal. Like it's really like, I don't know if it's I've become some kind of obsession, I think. Oatmeal and coffee. Because my race was really late at night too. It was like 9:20. It was like 9:30 the time I was racing, and I've never raced that late. So I was like making sure I was like eating enough and fueling enough, and I don't know, I don't really have any. Yeah, I just go into it. I'm like, just gonna see how it goes. So,
Okay, all right. Yeah, so whenever okay, so I mean that is kind of funny. I feel like we know a lot of people that have rituals or like routines or whatever, but like I guess not having a routine is nice. But whenever you race, because you're doing the 10K, you have a lot of time to think. So like what do you tell yourself during those races?
So obviously, this is my first 10K. So I kind of it's way different to any race I've ever done, because you feel pretty good for like at least 5K, because it's a, it's not like a, you're not allowed to like, it's not like a 1500 or 800 or even a 5K sometimes, where you have to go out from the gun, you have to for me personally, like from a 1500, like you have to go out from the gun, like I've got no time to think. But in a 10K, it was really weird, because I was just like sitting there go, oh, this is like pretty easy. But like, because it's supposed to, if you want to race it right, it should feel pretty easy until you hit maybe 5, 6K. And I remember thinking, like, every lap, I was like, oh, like, I'm gonna have fun. And there was like music playing, and like, a lot of my, like, I had my coach at one point, and my friends were there too. So, like, at the 100 meter point, he was there, and then my friends were at the 300 meter point. So, I was kind of just like taking everything in. And I remember at one point, I think we were about 3K in, so I was still feeling pretty good. And a coach screamed at someone saying, move your fingers or something. And I remember like looking, I remember like hearing that. I was like, oh yeah, same. So I started looking at my fingers during the race. Like just little things like that. Cause I've never had to experience a race where like I don't feel like ex not exhausted, but you don't, you're not using all your energy at once. So it was kind of nice, and like I was kind of like my element, because like all my workouts, I've always thrived in like the longer workouts. So doing like 79s, I could do that like not all day, but like it kind of felt like I could do it all day at that point. So yeah, it was a very, very cool experience.
Yeah, and you get that little bit of confidence too. Like I'm sure, like when you feel good in a race like that for a long period of time, I'm sure like even when you get tired, you're like, okay, well, I felt good so far, so I'm fine. Yeah, and it's really cool. I mean, I don't know. I think one thing I liked too is it was literally lasted one lap that I was able to do this. Like when you go through like we started a 5K, I think like 200 in. Like I think you get teammates on the side, and so like you give like one of these as you run by. I think one of our teammates did it once. Obviously, like I it lasted 200 meters before I got tired and decided never to do it again. But yeah, like definitely feels better. Did you I wanted to ask, did you enjoy racing at night? What was that like? Because so many of us, so often we race in the morning or the afternoon. So what was racing at night like?
I was worried about it before, like the week before. I was like, oh wow, like I've never raced that late, and like usually I'm in bed by like 9:30. So I was like, how am I gonna be able to like, run at this time? But I really enjoyed it. Like the, I don't know if it's just like the Raleigh meet per se, but I think the whole, there was music playing, like the vibe was really nice, and it was like perfect conditions. It was like maybe 50 degrees, like there's like it was like clear skies, no wind, like zero wind. So everything could have, like all the conditions are right. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And like once you get into the race, you're not tired because like you have all the adrenaline, and like I didn't sleep probably that night either because like you have so much adrenaline running for you. But yeah, I really enjoyed it and I wouldn't mind doing it again. So
That's awesome. Yeah, when like when do you think you're gonna, or actually, are you gonna run the 10K again until, regionals, or do you think you're gonna just.
I think I'm gonna be running. Oh yeah, I'll be running at conference. So I'll be doing the 10K and 5K double at conference,
Oh
and
gosh.
then yeah, that's like, yeah,
That
yeah.
that's
So that's
about.
like 2 weeks before regionals. So yeah.
That's wow. How are you that double, I'm assuming, is obviously you've never done it before. How is are you, I just saw your face there. Are you nervous for it? How's your how are you feeling about that?
Well, I did it on a smaller scale. Indoors, I did the 3K, 5K, and I honestly recovered very well in between that. Like, I did the 5K the night before, and then I did the 3K. I think it was like not even a day le after. It was like I think it was like 3 p.m., 2 p.m., and I didn't even feel like I never felt better in the 3K. I felt better in the 3K actually. So I've kind of got confidence from that, but obviously it's completely different because it's a 10K and a 5K. But you know, it's conference. Like, you never know how the 10K is going to go out. It might be going. Usually it goes out pretty slow compared to other like 10Ks you do usually because you know people it's more tactical and stuff. So
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll see
What
how it
one's
goes.
do you know what one's first?
The 10K. So
Ten
the
K's
10K is at
first.
night. The 5K. Oh no, I have a day in between actually. It's a 3 day meet this time, so I'll have a day in between. So that's nicer.
Oh, that does help. Yeah, that does help a lot. I mean, I'm sure that'll help mentally. And then obviously with the 5K being second, I'm sure you can tell yourself, oh, I've only gotta go half the distance I've already done.
Yeah, so like 5K, 10K, that's a lot of mileage, especially like for track and everything. So like, recovery processes gotta like that's gotta be there. So what do you kind of do to recover, for those long distances?
I do a lot of so I actually hurt my back a year ago. I had a few like disc problems, so I do a lot of like maintenance for that. Generally in the weight in the training room, I do a lot of needling. Needling really helps me relieve that. I do a lot of band exercises. Obviously straight after training, I tend to go do contrast baths. So I do like 3 minutes in the ice, 3 minutes in the hot, 2 minutes in the ice, blah, 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 like that. I do a lot of like we do the Normatec boots. We have those. I really like doing them. Just the regular, like I have like a foam roller in my room that I do like every night, and I do like a whole like stretching routine. I'm a big like advocate for like stretching and like all that kind of stuff because I think that's the like little 1%ers that you really need to, you know, if you can get a hold of doing those little things, then I think it really adds up, especially like even with nutrition and sleep. So sleep is a big one too. I've like really improved my sleeping, which has helped me as well. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's hard. Those 1% is like absolutely because like it's something so easy to just be like, oh, I'm gonna start doing that, and then obviously you get a few days in and I have a test to study for and I stop doing it. You know what I mean? So like that's actually a point I wanted to bring up too. So obviously you're a student athlete and you have been for the past 4 years. So I don't know if it's a bit easier senior year, but like how have you been able to balance kind of that like student athlete what I'm trying to say.
I think I've always been quite a high achiever, I'd say, and I said before like I'm very good at like structure and stuff. So, and I think having a sport has made me have to, you know, make sure like be disciplined, and like if I've got an assignment due, I need to do it because I've got training today, or you know. So I think I'm pretty good at like giving myself like time management and saying I have to do this now. Obviously, like sometimes I do leave it to the last minute and it doesn't always help, but I also work pretty well under pressure. So I think I really like think I'm a very strong advocate for like making sure you do academics. Like I think sometimes people try to put it to the side, whereas I'm, you know, you are a student athlete, you're not an athlete student. So I think really important that you should focus on your like academics as well, because obviously post college, you're not, you know, most people aren't going to be doing athletics, you know, anymore. So yeah.
Yeah, so what are you majoring in? That's not the question,
Oh,
but what are you majoring in?
national security and intelligence.
Oh, dang. So Like, what is what kind of job would, you try to get with that?
So I want to go into like private intel. So it's like I'd be like an intel analysis. So I don't know if you know what that is,
I
but
don't. I don't. Tell me about it. I'm curious.
so the most people go into that to go into like CIA, FBI, but because I'm international, I'm probably not going to go into that. So I want to go into that because basically businesses come to you for advice on whether they should invest in a certain country or an area. I think that's the gist of what I want to do. So I give like quick brief intel analysis about a political state of a country,
Oh, I
or
like that.
it's kind of, yeah, it's a lot of like poli sci too, mixed with intel, and yeah.
Yeah,
So
I'm sure being international like helps with that a little bit. I don't know. I just feel like maybe it doesn't. Maybe that's completely wrong, but I don't know. I feel like
well, I
I
had to
feel
learn a lot about a lot of, I had to learn a lot about like American government and stuff too, because a lot of it's focused on like the FBI, CIA, like all the American intel. So that was kind of a big change to me. But yeah, but also being international really helps with like the international relations and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, also, like you had told us, like you said this, that you have lived in like a lot of different areas. Like you said, you lived in Saudi Arabia for a little bit. Like how? Like
Yeah.
tell us about all that background.
Yeah, so my dad's in the military, so we've moved around a lot, a lot around the UK, England when I was younger. But I also lived in a little island called Cyprus when I was about 7 or 10. So yeah, I've lived all that, and then my parents just moved to Saudi Arabia a few years ago. So that was a big change too. But yeah, I just love like learning about new cultures, and coming to America too wasn't big of a difference, because I moved like every 2 years, so I think I've been to about 15 schools. So yeah, so yeah. So I'm pretty used to like moving around. So coming to America wasn't as big of as like a shock to me, because I'm used to, it was more just like being without my family. So I'm pretty used to just moving to new places and adapting. So yeah.
I'm sure it'll be nice to finally like finish a school. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm ever gonna like settle down anywhere, but I think I will. But I'm just so used to just moving everywhere that I'm so up for like, I'll go move here, I'll go move there. Like I just want to explore the world, because I think once you've like been opened your eyes to a different culture, you kind of just want to keep going. So I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so do you let's talk about future. Obviously USA. Are you coming back to Coastal next year? I'm assuming you have another year. Yeah.
One
Perfect.
more.
Yeah. You've got unfinished business in Cross too, so so I'm sure you're excited for that. But after that, so like do you plan on staying in the States, or like do you have any idea yet? Do you want to potentially try and make a run going professionally? What are your goals?
So I don't know if I'm gonna be staying in America or not. My boyfriend, he was a soccer player, and he now lives in California. So it'll be depending on what he does, I guess. But I don't know if I see myself living in America long term. Obviously, I'd love to, continue running, but it's like it's so hard nowadays to get to that,
Yeah.
professional level. But I would honestly, I would love more than anything to say yes, I would love to be a professional runner. But sometimes you do have to be realistic with it, and you never know what could happen in a year. I'm just going to keep working hard, and keep working hard with my athletics and also my academics. And I don't know, I'm kind of excited for the future. I'm kind of excited with the unknown, so we'll see. But I'll just see how it all goes. So yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, yeah, like especially you because you've got the ability to go in a lot of different places, so that's really cool. And obviously having a boyfriend that plays soccer. Does he play for like a pro team, or is he a college team right now?
He had to kind of retire, which
All
is kind of
right.
sad, because injured, he did his ACL. But he used to play for the PSG's second team. I don't know if you know PSG, the
Wow.
French team.
Did he
Yeah,
really?
so he was very, yeah, he played with like half the French national team, like
Wow.
Mbappe. Like, he went to Clairefontaine, which is like the big French academy. So he was very, very good. But he was just unfortunate with injuries. So he now works for a soccer team in California, Sacramento Republic. He's still in soccer, but yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm just
Yeah.
fangirling the fact that you got to play with
Yeah,
Mbappe. That's so awesome.
yeah. He was very good, so.
Wow, that's awesome. But yeah, I mean that's kind of cool that you kind of get to, obviously next year you'll come back and I'll talk about that next, but yeah, like that's really exciting. But as far as next year, I'm sure you're looking into just outdoor track right now, but long term of in college, what are you? I'm sure cross is going to be a big focus. So, what are you looking to do, next year?
Yeah, so obviously I'd love to, retain my conference title cross country, and then obviously the big goal is to, make it to nationals because, it's my last chance. So I know I'm in the shape for it, and I just need to. We're going to be doing a lot more 6Ks, I think, because I didn't. That was my first 6K cross country, so I think that was also a big factor of maybe why my body just didn't react very well to the final K. So that's a big factor into that. So I think, yeah, nationals definitely is like a big goal, to, try and do one up from last year, and then going to outdoors just see where it goes to. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, just keep on pushing it, and there's I guess just as long as you kind of stay calm and humble with like everything going on, I'm sure like you'll be able to do like have a three-peat for the conference title. That would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be.
But I mean, I think that this kind of about wraps it up. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Molly, we've had a lot of fun. We hope you have as well.
Yeah, no, it's been great. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thank you for coming on. So for everyone listening, thank you so much. And we've loved talking to Molly, and we wish her the best. And again, thank you everyone for listening, and we will catch you all next time. Goodbye. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Be sure to like and subscribe, and we'll catch you all next week.